Good morning. Can you hear me all right? I hope so. It's a really good day. It is a beautiful day. I'm so glad we were able to live out this day. We're able to be together and worship together, and we should give thanks to Him for that. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. I do have to give you a fair warning, though. I was practicing this sermon yesterday. I was holding Annie, and I was watching her while Mom was out, and she fell asleep both times I practiced. So, fair warning, it could happen to you. It could happen to you. So we're going to be in Job 6, Job chapter 6 to start. Job chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. You know, we live in a very physical world, a physical and broken world, in fact. And unfortunately, that means we live in a world that comes with a lot of pain. A lot of different kinds of pain. We have physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, spiritual pain. All of this is all very real, and it's what many of us feel on really any given day. For example, and all these can kind of lead to one another. Chronic pain can lead to emotional pain that can lead to depression. Mental pain could fester and boil into even spiritual pain. All these different kinds of pain have the ability to contribute to one another and to combine. And it can sometimes feel like this never-ending cycle of just hurt. And it's hard for us. It has a negative effect on us. But today's goal is not to look at the negative. Today's goal is to look at the positive in the midst of our pain, to be encouraged, and when we leave here, feel uplifted. And so we're going to start in Job chapter 6. There's several figures we can look at in the Bible that have gone through this pain, but a big one that comes to my mind is Job, someone who lost his health, his wealth, his family, many of the things that we take for granted or believe to be necessary for our happiness. Job lost, and he expresses that pain in verse 2, if you read with me. Verse 2, he says, "Oh, if only my grief could be weighed and my misfortune laid on the scales too, but because it is heavier than the sand of the sea, that is why my words have been wild. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks their poison. God's sudden terrors are arrayed against me." Notice verse 2. He says his words have been wild. In a healthy and godly way, it's okay to express what we feel and how we feel to God, and He expresses that pain. But drop down, look at verse 8. That physical pain that he's feeling, that physical pain that he's expressing, contributes to an even deeper emotional and mental despair when he says, "Oh, that my request would be realized and that God would grant me what I long for." What does he long for? "And that God would be willing to crush me, that he would let loose his hand and kill me. Then I would yet have my comfort. Then I would rejoice in spite of pitiless pain, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One." Sometimes within our pain, it's hard to see past the hurt. It's hard to see the good that comes from this life. More importantly, it's hard to see the good that comes from our God and our Savior, someone who gives us so much joy and so much comfort in this life. However, because there is pain, that doesn't mean we just focus on the negative. Since there is a negative, there's a positive side as well. There's another side of that coin. Because there is pain, there is healing and comfort that can be applied to the pain that we feel. And my prayer is that with this study and the God's Word, we can leave here with a little more pain relief, in addition to some comfort and some peace in the midst of our pain. Because that's the question we want to ask today. How do we have peace in the midst of our pain? And so to start off, we really have to grab a hold of some of Job's words. Notice verse 10. Verse 10, Job states the goal. He states the intent, the opposite of pain, something that we all want in spite of pain. This is what we want to feel when he says, "Then I would yet have my comfort. Then I would rejoice." That's what we want. We want comfort. If we had comfort, we might say, well, then maybe we'd go through life with fewer complaints. So what should be our comfort? When we're in pain, we often go into this despair. And despair is not a place of comfort. It's a place of deep torture and agony. According to Google or the Webster Dictionary, despair is a complete loss or absence of hope. And a place of, absent of hope, absent of, peace and comfort is not a place that we want to be. We want to look at the positive. We want to look at the things that we can do to have peace in the midst of our pain. If we think about it, if despair is the absence of hope, then peace is going to be, logically, where our hope is. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, a very encouraging psalm. And if we're looking for peace, one of the best places that we're going to find peace is going to be in God's Word. Words, if you think about it, are some of the few things in this life that truly comfort us. Especially when they come from a loved one. Especially when they come out of love and compassion and empathy. And that is a guarantee. It's a guarantee when we dive into God's Word and we listen to His words. And the psalmist who writes Psalm 119 with inspiration, he's experienced a lot of pain. We read phrases like, look at verse 82. He says, when will you comfort me? Verse 84, how long must your servant endure? Help me. Verse 86. Verse 107, I am severely afflicted, or I am suffering terribly. Verse 146, save me, he says. The following verse, 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. Even in the midst of this writer's crying, it's a beautiful psalm of him finding peace in the midst of pain. Him finding peace in God's Word. Words with good thought, should wrap itself around us, should embrace us and act as a shield against the pain and the suffering that we receive from this world. And that's exactly what God's Word does for us if we apply it correctly to our lives. And the psalmist appropriately says in verse 114, look at verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your Word. Throughout the entire psalm, that is the writer's, quote, why, if you will, the assurance that he has in His Word, in God's Word. And I know we make this point all the time, to read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. But it is so important. It wouldn't be important if it didn't have the longest psalm was about it, or the longest chapter in the Bible wasn't about God's Word. It is very important, and we can't shy away from it. We can't shy away from it when our problems and our pains logically lead to God's Word as application to our lives. And on top of that, it's not just reading it. It's actually studying it. The whole Bible is written in this Jewish meditation literature. And that's a fancy way of saying, even in the smallest detail, there's a deeper meaning that we can apply to our life. And that's one of the amazing things about God's Word, is that it's more than just a piece of fiction we take off a shelf and we read once for entertainment and we put back on the shelf and we never read again. It's more than a piece of nonfiction that we take off the shelf and we only use as reference material. It's so much more than that. Look at verse 47 and 48. This tells us the attitude we should have with God's Word. Verse 47, 48. He says, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. God's Word is meant to be read, applied, and meditated on day and night in order to enrich our lives. Verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. No matter where we're at in our spiritual maturity, God's Word imparts understanding so that we can grow in wisdom. God's wisdom is going to help us find comfort because of the light that it projects in our life. What is despair? Despair is darkness. It's a pit of darkness. What we need is peace and comfort, and it's found in hope of God's Word. God's Word enlightens, and as I said earlier, enriches our lives. And if that doesn't give us hope, then what does? Look at verses 25 and 28. When he is in distress, he says, my soul clings to the dust. What does he ask for? Give me life according to your word. Verse 28, when he is in depression and sadness, he says, my soul melts away for sorrow. He says, strengthen me according to your word. Those two phrases we want to underline. We want to circle. Notice the two big phrases there. Give me life and strengthen me. Think about this for a second. How do we grow? How do we get better at something or a task? We go a little further than we're comfortable. Go a little further than we're comfortable with going. Not so much that we cause pain, but just enough to help us grow. And that's true for all the areas of pain that we experience. Physically, for example, if I want to get stronger, healthier, I'm going to do a couple more reps than I feel comfortable with. If I want to mentally know this topic more, I'm going to study a little longer than when I just want to give up and call it quits. Emotionally, before I dive off the deep end, I want to practice discipline. Spiritually, even. How many of us have this habit? We open up our Bibles, we read the first thing we open up to, and that doesn't apply, so then we close our Bibles and put it back on the shelf. I want to encourage us, go a little longer, go a little deeper, spend a few more minutes in God's Word, because if we're truly listening to God's words, there is peace. There is peace there. I want us all to find that peace that's found in God's Word, because when we are in pain and sorrow and grief and our faces on the floor, we have nowhere to go. It's in God's Word that we can find peace in the midst of our pain. And God's Word, like a breadcrumb trail, beautifully leads to other places that we can find peace in our lives. Look at verses 105 and 106. Verses 105 and 106, we sing this all the time, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn, this is key though, 106, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. Just as the word of God is a light, look at verse 105 again. It's a light in our despair, our darkness. It lights up our path. God's word illuminates the hidden obstacles that are in front of us so as to set us up for success against those obstacles. And in addition to that, now that we know what path we're on, now we know what to do on that path because of his righteous rules there in verse 106. Now we know when pain comes, we know how to act. When sin creeps in, we know what to do. We know how to act because we are keeping his righteous rules. That is a key to finding peace when we're in pain. We find peace in God's righteousness. And then we walk in his ways. Righteousness, according to human standards, is just acting moral. It's just doing right for my own sake. But as a disciple of Christ, today, we are meant to follow the standards of God. And those standards are higher than the standards, more profound than the standards of any man, culture, or government. And a small piece of that is doing what is right, even when it's difficult. In all areas of pain, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that means going the extra mile, even when we're in pain, to do what is right and to do what is right for others. Doing what is right for others and seeing the joy in other people because we're keeping his righteous rules is going to give us peace. It's going to give us peace. When we're in pain and things don't seem to be going our way, though, what happens? We have a tendency to sometimes play the victim, to act as if everything is going against me. We read Job. We read his complaints, his frustrations. Where were his complaints and frustrations directed? Where should our complaints and frustrations be directed? Should they be directed into our sinful action? Or should they be directed toward God, which is automatically going to lead to righteous action? Paul says this in Galatians 6, if you have your Bibles. Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10. Galatians 6, 9 through 10, he tells us that if we're in pain, what we need to continue doing, that we should be doing good. Galatians 6, 9 through 10, he says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." It is so easy when we are in pain to just give up, to grow weary, as it says there, instead of growing strong, as we read back in Psalm 119, because Satan wants to break us. Satan wants to destroy us. Tim did a great job in this class this morning. Satan wants to get the better of us. But what makes us stand out from the rest of the world is that in a broken world with a broken heart, we are mended in Jesus. And one of the greatest feelings in the world is doing good for others, is loving other people. And yet, It's so hard for us to get out of our own head and to start putting others ahead of ourselves. And it's not even the big things that can make us feel good. Sometimes it's the small things, whatever that is for you. Maybe it's paying for the person in line behind you, praying for this person or that person. Maybe it's listening to someone who just needs to get something off of their chest. Maybe it's talking to someone who has no one to talk to and is alone and is in despair. The list can go on and on, but one of the most draining feelings is doing nothing when we know we should be doing something. Or even more, ignoring God's word and continuing in our sin, remaining in our sin. Whatever the cause of pain is for you, maybe it's physical, maybe it's a surgery, maybe it's back pain, maybe it's stress at work with a boss or coworkers or at home with family or finances, maybe it's the continual temptation to fall back in the sin, whatever it is, the point is it can become a grind that exhausts us. And Paul tells us in Romans 12, if you have your Bibles, Romans 12, verses 20 through 21, Romans 12 through 21, Paul tells us to combat that evil, that despair, that pain, with good. To combat that evil with good. Romans 12, verse 20, what does he say here? He says, if your enemy, who is our enemy? Our enemies are people who usually cause pain, right? That don't make our life any easier. And he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is accomplished only by a mature man or woman in faith. A mature man or woman that can see the benefits of people's joy, and that's going to get them peace in the midst of their own pain. That means doing the small things that are righteous in God's sight. If you're in Romans 12, let's go back a little bit. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 3 through 6, Paul tells us. He lets us know where God's righteousness fits into our life in Romans 8, verses 3 through 6. He says, Romans 8, verse 3, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Oh, excuse me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And verse 6 is key. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is what? Is life and peace. Even in our despair, we need to walk by faith. And let his righteousness be what we live by, giving us peace. Walking by the Spirit is not always going to be easy, especially if we're in pain, especially when we're going through difficult times. But living a life that doesn't please God isn't going to heal us. It's only going to make things worse. And the comfort we find is in verse 3, when all of this is only possible through the sacrifice of his Son. Peace in pain is impossible without Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so if we're going to find peace and comfort, we have to go to the great physician himself. We have to remember, in fact, that Jesus did a lot of good on this earth for many people. Even when times were tough, even when other people were being really difficult, he didn't keep himself from doing what was right. And we need to walk in that same direction. We need to follow that example. Let's look at one of those examples. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Jesus is going to heal a blind man. It's a beautiful passage. And as you turn over there, I want to remind you of the story of Job again. Job lost everything. He's suffering. His friends come to comfort him, as you would expect friends to do. Instead, they don't comfort him. They look at his suffering. They say, he is suffering because of some sort of sin, some sort of secret sin perhaps, that he needs to now repent from. And He, despite his pain, defends his innocence. And that is important to remember when we read John 9 here. I want us to keep in mind what the friends, Job's friends, thought of when we read John 9. John 9, verse 1, it says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'It is not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing." Find it interesting that many here saw this man's situation as somehow caused by his sin, just as Job's friends did. The disciples here in verse 2 had the same worldview that Job's friends had. And this morning, I want us to realize that, because what does Jesus say? It was so the works of God might be displayed in him. This world comes with a lot of pain. It comes with a lot of suffering. But sometimes it's not a direct cause of our sin. And this morning is for everyone experiencing some sort of pain or will be experiencing pain. It could be pain that's caused by our sin. It could be pain caused by us doing what is righteous. It could be the hard knocks of life. It could be just some discomfort, some difficulties, some stress. But in the midst of that pain, of course, what are we seeking? We're seeking peace. We're always seeking some sort of relief. And the blind man here lived his whole life in darkness. He probably experienced a lot of despair, but he received that relief in Christ. He received that relief in Christ. Jesus took care of people. Jesus took care of people experiencing pain and searching for peace. And when we continue reading, the Pharisees come onto the scene with the same worldview, assuming, and they're not, you know, experiencing pain, they're not searching for peace, but they come in making the same mistake the disciples had, making the same mistake Job's friends had, assuming that this man's situation has to be caused by his sin. Look at verse 24. This is their conclusion. "We know that this man is a sinner." The point is, we have to look at ourselves. We have to meditate and reflect on ourselves and see what is the cause of our pain. But no matter the cause of our pain, I want you to know this, the solution is always the same. And that is the peace and comfort that we receive through Jesus, our Savior. And I love what this man says back to the Pharisees, responding to them in verse 30 and 33. Look at the confidence this man has. He says, "Why, this is an amazing thing." He says, "You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." That is quite the testimony. This man took a leap of faith. In his darkness, he went, he washed the mud off his eyes, he opened his eyes, he saw the beauty of God's creation. He found hope, he found peace in Jesus, in his words, and in his righteousness. And according to verse 38, in this passage, he went on through his belief to be a disciple of Christ. You know, Jesus comforts and gives us peace much in the same way. It will not be miraculous like healing our blindness, but it can be a slow and gradual change to help us see the light. What did Jesus say in verse 5? That he is the light of the world, and all can be led to this peace. This peace that comforts us every single day. And that is the hope and the assurance that we all have in eternal life if we put on Christ. And this is, of course, accomplished through the salvation we receive through Jesus. And that is why we can have comfort in Christ. Because we have a promise made by God who doesn't break any promises, that we will live for eternity with him. And in the midst of our pain, that is a comforting thought that should give our souls peace. I want us to understand this, that pain pain in this world is only momentary. But the peace we experience through Jesus is eternal. Back in Matthew 5, when Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, and they will find comfort. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, and they will be satisfied. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and theirs will be the kingdom of heaven." These are promises that in our pain we need to hold on to and we need to use as encouragement in order to have peace in our pain. I love what God tells Job way back, Job 47, when he's demanding a response from Job. He says, "Get ready for a difficult task like a man." Life is a difficult task. We are not guaranteed any of the things that Job lost. Safety, health, wealth. It's our job to trust in the Lord. It's our job to submit to His complete knowledge and power. And it may seem like the physical pain in this world will never go away, but with Jesus, we can have peace even when it hurts. Even when it hurts, we can have peace. It's an amazing blessing that sets us apart. I think Paul summed it up best in Colossians 3 as we close verses 15 through 16 when he says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the peace of Christ and the word of Christ dwell in us so that we can walk in Christ. And so this morning, maybe you're going through some tough times. You don't have to fight that alone. You don't have to fight that pain alone. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe this morning you realize the gravity of your sin and the separation from God is weighing you down, and you want to be connected to Him for the very first time. We encourage you. We encourage you to come forward and be baptized. I want you to listen to the words of the blind man right before we close when he goes to Jesus, and Jesus asks, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he says, "And who is He, sir, that I may believe in Him?" That's confidence. And Jesus said to him, "You have seen Him, and it is He who is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Him. That should be our response. And so don't waste any time. Don't waste a moment. Come forward now and be baptized while we stand and we sing.